You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless. Good morning, everyone. All right, I'm going to say a statement, a bottom line for today, and this statement is going to shape and direct the way that we move into the rest of the message. And the one message, or the one line, is this: if you're brave often enough, you will fall. If you're brave often enough, you will fall. Don't you feel warm and fuzzy after that one? Aren't you encouraged in your faith? If you're brave often enough, you will fall. We've been in the middle of a series called Faith Builder. I think this is the fifth week we've been in this, and Pastor Dan's been looking at just the life of Elisha and just the story of faith. So many stories with Elisha and about faith, and so I'm excited to continue this series, but we want to look at this line, though, that if you're brave often enough, you will fall. So I want to share with you a story. When I was brave once, I was brave once. And I was going to the community pool with my older brother over the summer. Pool's packed, lots of people. My brother and I would usually spend hours just going off the diving board and jumping off, doing whatever, daring each other to do different jumps off the diving board. Anyone afraid of the diving board? Anyone afraid? Okay, just me, I guess. All right, so it was a scary time. So I was going off the diving board. I was just kind of playing it safe for a while, just doing things that, you know, that just basically just running off, enjoying getting in the water, that type of thing. Well, my brother would always dive. And my brother would tell me, "Adam, you should do a dive." And I was like, "No, I can't do that. I'm not going to dive. That's crazy talk. I'm not going to do it." Just the thought of me going headfirst in the water, just I've instantly thought bad things would happen, all right? And maybe you've been there. Maybe you've had a bad experience on a diving board where maybe, you know, you belly flop. That's okay. We've all been there. So, but I didn't want to do a dive. I was scared. My brother would always encourage me, like, "You should do a dive. You should do a dive." Like, I don't want to. But finally, one time, I mustered up the courage. I stood on that diving board. And I did a dive. And my trunks came right off. I'm serious. They just slipped right off. So underwater, you're panicking because your eyes are closed. Your trunks are off. You automatically start floating. You're like, trying to find your trunk, just like doing this underwater jig, trying to find your trunks. I could hold my breath for 30 seconds, maybe, if I'm ready for it. I come up just slowly out of the water. Make sure no one saw that. But there was one little girl with big goggles. And she goes, "Ha ha." Oh, she saw me. And because of that one dive, that one time I was brave, the one time I mustered up the courage to do the dive, never again. Never again will I dive. To which a lot of you may just say, "You just need to get tighter trunks." Hindsight, people, I get that. I get it. I never wanted to do it again, though, because I failed that one time. If it was on a YouTube video, that would be diving board fail. You know, we've all had those times where maybe one time you stepped out in faith, maybe one time you mustered up the courage to do something and you failed. And so you said to yourself, "Never again. There ain't no way I'm doing that again. That was too embarrassing. It's a blow to my pride. I made myself vulnerable, and I tripped. I messed up. I fell." Maybe you've mustered up the courage before one time, and you failed. But if you're brave often enough, you will fall. If you're brave often enough, you will fall. I want to transition to a different story. Whenever I was a junior in high school, I had an opportunity to fly down to Atlanta to a Catalyst conference. It was my very first time getting on an airplane, which is a big deal. If you remember the first time you flew, maybe it was a big deal to you. You had so many questions, a lot of unknowns. I didn't ever have the opportunity to fly. And so this is my first time, and it was away from my parents. My dad's a truck driver, and so he's very comfortable on the road. We weren't into flying all that much. But that was a big step that I had the opportunity to go on a plane. And so I had a senior in high school, a kid 1 year older than me. He said, "Adam, I think you should go on that trip." I'm like, "No way, my parents aren't going to let me. I'm not really into flying. I don't really want to. It's going to cost money." I came up with every excuse in the book to say no. "I don't want to go to this conference. Not really into it, whatever." He said, "Adam, I really just think, this is a senior in high school, a spiritual mentor to me, spiritual coach as a senior in high school, looked at me and said, "Adam, I think you should go on that trip." And I really didn't want to. I was very reluctant. I was very timid because it was something I'd never done before. And so I'd finally talked with my parents. They allowed me to go. I paid the money to go on the trip. I did everything I needed to do to go on this trip. And I had one friend that was going on the trip with me, and he said, "Adam, do you want to ride to the airport?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's great." Fun fact about this friend, he's never early. What is the amount of time you need to get to the airport when you need to go somewhere? What time do you usually get there? Like an hour early. An hour early, right? Not this guy. Not this guy giving me a ride. So I get everything I need to. I'm kind of nervous, I'm getting anxious, waiting for him to show up to take me to the airport. Like I said, this guy's never early. We should have been picked up already. We should be on the road. We should be almost there to the airport. I'm still at this guy's house waiting to get picked up from him. So we're driving to the airport, like 25 minutes to go till the plane takes off. I'm still on the interstate. Traffic's busy. People are texting me. Mom and Dad are texting me saying, "Adam, are you there yet?" The youth assistant was texting me, "Adam, are you there yet? Hey, we're all on the plane. We're waiting for you. Are you here yet?" I'm like, "No, we're not. I'm not here yet." And they're freaking me out. I'm freaking out all by myself without them. But man, it was so incredibly stressful to go through all the hoops. And once we got into the airport, it was like a Home Alone scene where you're just running from one place to the other, trying to get in line to get into the plane. I was freaking out big time. And I was the last one on the plane with 5 minutes to go. Oh my word. That was stressful. And so at this point in the story, I am not loving my decision to go to this conference. I'm stressed out, I'm tired, I'm very irritable at this point because friend that offered ride is never early. And if you're offering a ride, be on time. You know, it was my first time on an airport, it was so stressful. I'm going to come back to this story in a little bit. If you're brave often enough, you will fall. And it would be unfair to you as a church if we went through this entire faith series talking about great stories of faith without bringing to you the realization that sometimes when we step out in faith, sometimes we do the hard thing. Sometimes we take a step forward without seeing the next step. There will be times you will fall. If you're brave often enough, you will fall. Stepping out in faith is you're opening up the possibility to say, "Yeah, I could fall here." When you're stepping out in faith, you're opening up the realization that this could not work out the way I planned it to. Things may not work out in the end. But if you're brave often enough, you will fall. Luckily, we have someone we can look to in Scripture to give us a story in this particular area. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14 with me. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to be in verse 22. If you don't have a Bible, there should be some under the chair. They'll also be on the screen. At this point in the story that we're looking at, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He's just fed the multitude. And at this point in the story, this is where we're picking up. It says this in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, said Peter, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But, verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is a crazy story. And so Jesus just got done with the disciples feeding the 5,000. They just got done doing a full day of ministry. And Jesus sends his disciples off in a boat while Jesus goes off to himself to pray. And the boat is already a far way off. It's dawn. And the disciples see a light. And they're terrified because they think it's a ghost. Jesus says, take courage, guys. It's me. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water with you. And Jesus says, come. Now, before we go any further, I want to define a few things for you. We need to define what the boat is. What is the boat in this story? The boat in this story is your comfort zone. The boat in this story is where you find security. The boat in this story is what you rely on other than God. The boat in this story is where you find security. This is where you play it safe. This is where the boat's at. We need to define what walking on the water is. Walking on the water is stepping out in faith. Walking on the water is doing things that don't make sense. Walking on the water is stepping outside of your comfort zone. Walking on the water is not letting fear win. So I know many of us may have grown up in church. We may have heard the story so many times, and it's easy for us to just go through the story in our mind and not let it change us. So I want us to imagine the story. I'm going to run through it again, but I want us to do one thing. I want us to imagine ourselves in the boat with the disciples. You're in the boat with the disciples. Imagine this with me. You're tired. You just got done doing a great day of ministry. Jesus performed a miraculous work. So Jesus tells you and the disciples to get into the boat. He sends you off into a storm. Jesus sent you into a storm. So you're with the disciples. The winds and the waves are crashing. You're not on a cruise ship. You're on a fishing boat. You're on a little boat. Jesus sent you into the storm with that. You're looking around. You're freaking out. Your Savior's nowhere to be found. It's dark. Winds and waves crashing on the boat. You imagine yourself just right there in the midst of it. You're looking for some rescue. And then you see the light. And at first you start to get scared because you think it's a ghost. But as the light gets closer and closer, starts making the way to you, you start to realize, no, that's not no ghost, that's Jesus. And so Jesus is saying, guys, it's me. Guys, it's me, it's Jesus. And so then you're standing right next to Peter on the boat. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, then tell me to come onto the water. And you're like, no, Peter, that's a bad idea. It's storming out there. Peter, I don't know if you know this, but you can't walk on water. You try to convince Peter. You're like, Peter, this isn't a good idea. It's dangerous. It's a storm. I didn't take swim lessons as a kid. If you go out there, I can't help you. How many times did doubt cross Peter's mind when he was calling out to Jesus? I think Peter understood what I'm doing right now doesn't make sense. I think Peter understood that if I were to tell him, Peter, I think it's a bad idea, I think he would say, I know, but I got to do this. Imagine yourself on the boat with Peter. You try to convince him not to do it. Peter, it doesn't make sense. I mean, what if it's not Jesus? What if you drown? Think this through, Peter. Connect the dots. It does not make sense. And Jesus says to Peter, come. And what happened next? Peter didn't just plop out of the boat, room temp water, feeling good. Now he slowly got out of that boat. He started to walk on the water. And then what? He saw the winds and the waves. He saw the thing that he was in opposition with. He saw his fear. And he started to sink. See, at first he was fixing his eyes on Jesus. He was doing the thing that didn't make sense because of Jesus calling him. When we start thinking rationally, we start trying to connect the dots. Oh, the winds and the waves. That's when we start to fall. We're brave enough to get out of the boat, but if you're brave often enough, you will fall. So Peter got out of the boat, made his way towards Jesus. That's the funny thing about faith, guys. Faith will never answer every question. Faith will not connect every dot. Faith does not make sense. If everything is spelled out for you and you think that's walking in faith, that's logic. It's not faith. If you're a person that I need to have everything planned, I'm just that type of person, that's not wrong. But if that is what you think walking in faith is waiting till all the dots are connected, you're not walking in faith, you're walking in logic. Sometimes faith, all the time, faith does not make sense. You're going to do things that defy logic. And oftentimes we read this story and we usually rag on Peter, right? Because Jesus says, you have little faith. All the while, Peter's getting ragged on with Jesus in the water. Like, Jesus, but what about those 11? They're still in the boat. Oftentimes we rag on Peter for that. Peter's the only one, though. Peter's the only one that day that can say, hey, Peter, how was your day? It's like, walked on water with Jesus for a little bit. That was pretty sweet. How was your day? Oh, you stayed in the boat? Was it dry? That's good. Peter's the only one. Peter's the only one that can say, you know what? I got out of that boat. And I walked on water for a little bit. Yeah, I fell. Jesus was there to catch me, though. Jesus was there. And I can look back on that moment and say, my faith is stronger because of that. If you're brave often enough, you'll fall. If you're not falling, you're not stepping. If you're brave often enough, you're going to fall. But if you step out of the boat, Jesus is always going to be there to catch you. And if you're not falling, you're not moving. You're not stepping. if you're brave often enough, you're going to fall. Faith does not make sense. Defies logic. If you're not falling, you're not stepping. Why is it that we avoid doing the brave thing because there's a possibility we could fall? Oftentimes, we don't step out in faith because I could possibly fall here. It's like me on the diving board. I'm not going to do that again because I messed up once. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to remind you of the times you've fallen, not of the times you stepped out in faith, not the times you've done the brave thing. You know what? Yeah, I got on the water and I walked. I did fall, yes. I understand that. I fell. But my faith is stronger because of that. That was a moment I realized no matter what I do, I don't have to be perfect. Jesus was always there to catch me. And yeah, it doesn't make sense. But you know what? I feel like this is what I have to do. I'm going to step out in faith. I could fall. But Jesus will always be there to catch me. The fear of falling will keep you from stepping outside of your boat. The fear of falling will keep you from taking active steps towards Christ. The fear of falling will cause you to stay in your comfort zone. And church, falling does not happen when you're not moving. And that is not what Jesus called us to. Jesus calls us into the storm. Jesus called Peter into the storm. It wasn't calm waters. It wasn't a sunny day. It wasn't nice outside. Jesus calls us into the storm. Why does he call us into the storm? He wants us to trust him. He wants to teach you and I total dependence. Like a newborn baby. Total dependence. I'm totally helpless. God, if you do not pull through for me, I'm going to look like a total goofball. Like that kind of faith. God, if you do not pull through for me, like Joshua asking God to make the sun stand still. It's not even scientifically correct, but he asked God to do something that was totally bonkers because of his faith. God, I need you to pull through for me. If you don't, I'm going to look totally ridiculous. If you call me to go on the water, I will walk on the water towards you. Jesus is wanting us to have total, complete dependence upon him. So he will call you into the storm. He will call you into the winds and the waves. He will not call you into the calm waters where you can just have a nice day and not depend on God. He will not call you to that. God is wanting a willing spirit to say, yes, if you call me into this storm, I will go. So let's revisit this plane ride. I got on the plane, stressed out, I'm irritable. Don't anyone look at me funny, I might go off on you. Not having a good time thus far. That weekend conference was so incredibly monumental in my faith journey. It was that weekend where I heard God say very clearly to me, I want you to bring hope to students that have no hope. Where God told me, Adam, I want you to bring Jesus to a lost and hurting world. That was the weekend where I felt my call into ministry. That was also the weekend where I met Abby for the first time, where we actually had an actual conversation. It was awesome. It's where I met my wife. It was also where I had Chick-fil-A for the very first time. It's also where I had my first Starbucks drink. That is where I experienced the pumpkin spice latte. Just a little dash of cinnamon, Dan. It's not that hard. If Doug Smith was here, he'd walk up and say, "Give it to me." I'd say, "What? Like your man card?" I've never had a pumpkin spice latte. But it's crazy. It's like all of these things, my call to ministry, meeting my wife, these things would not have happened if I wouldn't have stepped out of my boat. This weekend, this conference, it changed the trajectory of my life. I did things I wouldn't normally do. I went on a plane ride. I was away. I was just stepping out of my comfort zone so much so that I said, "Jesus, if you're calling out to me, I will go." If I had not gone, I don't know where my life would be. When God calls us into the storm, and we say this often, obedience is your responsibility, and the outcome is His. So when you're brave enough, you may fall, and that's okay. You may fall. But you can look back on that time where you stepped out in faith, and you said, I fell there. But you know what? That made me stronger. Peter is the only one that can say, "You know what, I walked on water with Jesus for a little bit. And it was when I took my eyes off Him to when I fell. But you know what? I'm stronger because of that." And so I don't know where you're at with God, with your boat, or with walking on the water. But I know that Jesus will call us into the storm. And you may fall, but He's always there to catch you. So I want to pray with you. And during this time of prayer, I just want to ask that every head would be bowed and every eye would be closed. And I just want to talk to you for a minute. I want to talk to the person that's been in church for years, for months. I want to talk to you for a minute. Maybe you heard this today and you're thinking, "You know, I don't remember the last time I fell, because I'm not stepping out in faith. You know, I don't remember the last time I actually took a step out of my boat and walked towards Jesus. Adam, I don't remember the last time I got a spiritual angst in my chest because I was relying on God to pull through for me. I don't remember the last time I was brave enough to step out in faith. But I want to begin that today." If that's you, I just want to see your hand real quickly. Just put it up and then put it down. No one's looking around. Maybe you're here today and for the very first time you're thinking, "You know, I don't know if I've ever once stepped out of the boat and came towards Jesus. I don't even know if I have a relationship with Jesus, but I'd like to." And I would just ask you to say this quietly in your heart and say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that oftentimes I stay in my boat far too long. But Jesus, I hear You're calling me out into the storm. And I'm not going to be perfect after this moment, but I know that You're always going to be there to catch me. I put my trust in you, Jesus. I ask that you would come into my life, make me a brand new person. If you prayed that prayer in your heart, I'd just like for you to slip your hand up real quietly. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, thank you for new life in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're always there to catch us when we fall. Thank you for your grace, that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you. Thank you for calling us out of our comfort zone so that we can fully rely on you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.